said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And everybody that sits in the church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, everybody would say, "Oh, I love Jesus." But do we keep his commandments? I'm not scolding you. I'm asking you, we're just talking about examining ourselves to see how much we really are keeping his commandments. He said in Matthew chapter 5, the greatest sermon that was ever preached, his very first sermon, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all of these things, the things we think we have to have, the things we search for so diligently, all of the things that we have to have will be added unto us. What a great promise. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then Paul has this wonderful definition, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we've been talking about righteousness, and righteousness means right relationships with God and right relationships with one another. And you cannot have a right relationship with the Lord and not have a right relationship with one another. Now let me show you. If you have a right relationship with him, it means you love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your might and all your strength. And if you have that kind of love, then you will love your neighbor. And you will even love your enemies. That takes a lot of thought, you know. But I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. And we have to be perfectly honest with what the Bible says. And this is the great need in the churches everywhere over the world, friends, is that we know what that Bible says. And we do what the Bible tells us to do. I don't think you would disagree with that, would you? It's our book of instructions. But I'm not going to talk about righteousness. I will keep my word to you. Though it's some good stuff. We talked about Psalm 85, and there's some wonderful things in some of the rest of the Psalms. But I want to talk to you about the part of the kingdom of God, which is peace. Peace. The word peace is mentioned in 59 books of the Bible. Did you know that? All but 7 books of the Bible treat the word peace, and every book of the New Testament deals with the word peace. See, in what we read about peace, righteousness, and joy, obedience, we kind of skim over it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And we think, you say, "Well, I just don't have time," and I know that's a problem. But if we're going to seek that first, then we need to reevaluate our efforts, don't we? You know, we read in so many places, I really hardly know where to start. I've got so much more than I can handle. The first time peace is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 15:15, where the promise to Abraham was that he would be gathered to his people in peace. Let me read that to you in case you haven't read it recently. Genesis chapter 15, and I believe that it is verse 15. The word of the Lord to Abraham: "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace," in peace. And we also remember that Paul said in Romans that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So you see the connection there as far back as Abraham. He believed God, it was righteousness, and he was going to go home in peace. I can't think of any greater blessings. Isn't that wonderful? Be gathered to his people in peace. Abraham believed. You know, Bible believing is more than just agreeing. Yeah, I know it says that. Yeah. Believing means to put action, to put balance, to put weight, to put obedience to what you believe. You know, I looked in the dictionary. I love the dictionary. I really do. It just always tells me something that I need to know. I looked up the word believe. As old as I am, I know what the word believe means, but I looked it up, and it says to have confidence in the truth or the reliability of something without absolute proof. Isn't that good? To have confidence in the truth or the reliability of something without absolute proof. I think that's really good. That's what it means to believe. Now, real biblical belief will bring the same peace to us that it brought to Abraham. Because believing is more than just giving mental agreement. Believing takes action. Believing does something. For example, you see a highway sign and it says road closed. Well, you believe it. So you find you another way. You see what I mean? Whatever you really believe is going to cause you to do something. You'll see a highway sign, bridge out. Well, you can't see that far ahead, but you're not going to try and make, you're going to believe it enough to do something about it. And that's what biblical believing really, really is. Now, it produces in us, this believing, an action that we need in order to be the witnesses to this great salvation and will bring us to right relationships. Are you thinking? This will bring us to right relationships, and this believing will give us the peace. And I want to tell you something, friends. If ever anything is needed in churches, it's peace. In neighborhoods, it's peace. In Congress, it's peace. In politics, it's peace. Now, you can forget the world, politics, ever having peace. Don't wait for that. It's not going to happen. Jesus said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. So you will never expect governments, you'll never expect the world to be at peace. But we're the church. Our instruction in the church is all through the New Testament epistles, and we'll get to some of them, that say peace. The first one I want to throw at you is what Jesus said in Matthew 5, I think it's verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. How many of you know one of the best ways in the world to make peace is to keep your mouth shut? Amen. Somebody gave me a cute sign up. It's a magnet. I've got it on my refrigerator, and it's got a picture of a pig on it, a big fat pig. And it says, keep your snout out. And I'm reminded about that every time I start to say something that I know is not going to make for peace. Well, I didn't mean to make you shout real loud, but we really do need to speak peaceably and to leave things alone that don't concern us. See, that's a problem. I have a problem with that. Who else is honest in here? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm glad some folks in here are honest. Now, we're talking about the kingdom of God being righteousness and then peace. Peace is a result of righteousness, and one of the greatest things, and this is a problem in society, it's a problem in churches, it's a problem with families, one of the greatest things is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And you say, well, I can't forgive them. If you're a believer, you can. You know, we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we need to forgive someone, and you know, we need to manifest that forgiveness. We need to go to them. We need to get that straight. And if they don't forgive you, then that's not your problem. Paul says, as far as within you lies the ability, be at peace with all men. And that includes women and young people too. We ought to be at peace. There's no substitute for it, and there's nothing like it. The first, you know, one of God's names is Jehovah Shalom. You all knew that. The Lord our peace, it first appears in the Bible in the 6th chapter of Judges, where it appeared to Gideon. Jehovah Shalom. And that Shalom word is used throughout Israel. They don't say good morning or how are you. Everybody greets everybody with Shalom, Shalom. The stewardesses on the Israeli airline, when you get on, they say Shalom. And they don't really, most of them probably don't really know what they're saying, but that's a byword. It's a greeting among the Jewish people. So we need to really know what it means to us. Now, these right relationships, you see, will make peace. You can't have right relationships without peace. If you don't have peace, you're going to be quarreling.
That's right.
And if you're not quarreling, you're going to be quarreling on the inside. Your attitudes are going to be hostile. You see, love produces peace. And we need a good case of loving one another. But to go on, now, unforgiveness, as we were saying, is a real problem. And you can do what you need to do. I can do what I need to do, and nobody can do it for us. You have to walk your own walk. You have to fight your own fight. You are responsible. I am responsible. One of the greatest verses is John chapter 14, verse 27, where Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid." And then he said, not only there, but in chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you." And oh, he talks about the coming of the Comforter. That John chapter, all of it is just so good. John's gospel is just so good, you feel like you want to eat the pages. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me, that is in Jesus, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." How many of you say amen to that? "But in him, it's peace." And the peace, I want to tell you something. The peace that you and I have in him is the greatest witness to the lost. Come on now. And a fussing, complaining, quarreling, griping, unhappy Christian is the worst offense to the gospel. And you've all known some. I mean, there are Christians who will come to churches and they are always fussing about something, and when you see them coming, you dread the encounter. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And when an unsaved person sees that, they say, "Well, I don't want that. I have plenty of turmoil, plenty of problems in my own life. If that's the way it is, you can just leave it there." But his peace he has given to us. It is a gift. You can't earn it. All you can do is accept it and practice it. Isn't that wonderful? So often in the New Testament epistles, the greeting is grace and peace, grace and peace, over and over and over. We're not looking at any of those, but most of them, grace and peace. Some of them said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." But look at Ephesians, or listen to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. Ephesians 2:14 says this wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of the most powerful preaching texts that we could ever find. "He himself is our peace."
Oh, yeah.
"Who has made both one." Now he's talking about Jew and Gentile. But we also apply that to different nations, to different races, to different colors, to different creeds. In Christ, we are all one. And anybody who has any prejudice in his or her heart against anyone of another culture, we need to examine ourselves. He has made of one flesh all nations. The gospel is for everybody. And thanks be to God, it is being taken around the earth. Oh, it's wonderful to take the gospel. And the young people, who in here is going on to Siberia? Nanette, who else is going in here? Yes. The wonderful thing about going with the gospel to another nation is the excitement of being a part of what God said for us to do. Take the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. There's nothing in the world as refreshing, as rewarding, and as exciting as that. We are all one family. You see, I really don't know how to handle what I'm going to say, but I want to mention it. You see, denominations divide the body of Christ. That shouldn't be. We're all one. Different beliefs about the end time will cause hostility. People will reject you if you don't agree with them about the rapture. Let me tell you about the rapture. Nobody knows anything about anything that's going to happen between now and 5 minutes from now. The most educated answer that you can give is, I don't know. Boy, I have been crucified for some of the things that I believe, and that's one of them. Just to say, well, we don't know. We know that the Bible promises that we're going to be caught up and we'll always be with Him, but we don't know when or how. That's all we know. But there are those that are so sure they're right that they will almost crucify you, and they'll go to other missions and other churches and badmouth you. Now, if that's Christianity, then I'm a monkey's uncle. If that's Christianity, it isn't. It isn't. Galatians chapter 5, and you know what's there. The fruit of the Spirit. And you know that fruit's what grows on your tree. Fred, if you haven't heard me say this, fruit that you grow is what falls off when somebody bumps your tree. Now, when you go to mistreating somebody else and you start throwing rocks at their tree, you know what falls off? Fruit. You get that? Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and there's too much of it, you know what's there, but one of those is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love will bring everything else to pass. That's the source. And I'm not talking, you say, well, I get tired of hearing about that silly word love. Well, you better get saved. Because I'm going to tell you, it's that love that got you here. That love is the source of every blessing. God so loved the world. Don't ever ridicule love. But the fruit of the Spirit, you see, is that love, joy, and peace. And all, I love what Joyce Meyer says about this, which she says, love and self-control are the bookends that hold the books in place. Love brings it, and self-control maintains it.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's true. But that is peace. Now, you're familiar with all, and you say, well, I don't want to hear it. But really, friends, we need to be reminded of it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Every word we say, every action we perform should make for peace.
Amen.
Thank you, Ned. Anybody else agree?
Amen.
Everything. Over in Paul's epistles to the Thessalonians. You see, all the churches had problems. And God inspired Paul to address these problems. And then God, in His goodness, kept these letters so that you and I would know what we are to do. And ignorance cannot be claimed in the churches today. If anybody you know in a church, in a prison, anywhere, wants a Bible, there's sources. The Gideons will be there with Bibles. If nothing else, somebody will buy a Bible for somebody.
Amen.
We absolutely have no excuse not to obey, to know what to obey in these letters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Boy, this is heavy. Chapter 5 and verse 13. And really, it begins in verse 12, to recognize those that labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you. In other words, Paul is telling the Thessalonians, when those come to bring the gospel, to help them, to recognize them, and to be a blessing to them. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Now, notice this. He says, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Boy, that's good for any church. Be at peace among yourselves. Look it down at verse 23. May the God of peace, that's what he is. He's the God of peace. He's Jehovah Shalom. His name is peace. The God of peace. He's not the God of confusion. He's not the God of separation. He's not the God of disagreement. He is the God of peace himself. Sanctify you, set you apart completely, not halfway. You know, we need a church everywhere that's sold out. Mm-hmm. You know that colloquial expression? Sold out. Mm-hmm. Totally committed. There are churches, there are people like that in churches. But we need to be a strong signal to the world of sin by being completely dedicated. Sanctify, that is, set you apart completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he is coming back. And there's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And John saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. There are plenty in the Bible about a wonderful, victorious, joyous, clean, pure church. And this other word here, it's blameless. That's another word for purity. Blameless. And when Paul begins to close this letter to the Thessalonians, he prays that the God of peace will sanctify them. That's not a popular word, because you begin to think about sanctify, sanctification, and holiness. And holiness is not something we don't hear that. But I got a shock for you. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And I don't get to that later. Sanctify you completely, blameless, at the coming of the Lord. You know, what is so uncertain is our going. We don't know one day. Those people that went to work on 911 had no idea they would never go home again. And it happens all the time, accidents and that kind of thing. We are to love even our enemies. Look at 2 Thessalonians, just turn one page to 3:16, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace, that's who he is, himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord of peace, he is the God of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. That was one of his names in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. Look back at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, before you get to Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse. Oh, this is something. I have to start with verse 12. Look at verse 12. Everybody got a Bible? I know you can't read them back there where it's so dark. But verse 12 of that says, therefore. I love that word. There's two words in the Bible that just make me shout and be excited. One of them's therefore and the other one's nevertheless. Regardless of what it looks like, nevertheless. This has been accomplished, so therefore. I heard a tape of one of the good brothers, Dudley Hall, I believe it was, and the name of the tape was So That. So That. All the scripture that he talked about was so that, so that, so that. So that this could happen, so that. Isn't that exciting? But now, just looking at this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. There's another basket of fruit for you. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do.
Yeah.
You know, if there's scripture that says this, if we don't forgive one another, then the Lord will not forgive us. Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking to you about peace. And this is where it comes from. But above all things, put on love. That's the source. Which is the bond of perfection. The King James, other King James says, I believe it's the perfect bond of unity. And that's good too. Huh? Bond of perfectness. Bond of perfectness, or the bond of perfection. Love is. If you don't believe that, we'll read 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what the verse I wanted to get to. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I'm talking to you about relationships. I'm talking to you about the kingdom of God. I'm talking to you about what Jesus said for us to seek first. God must have top priority. I said God must have top priority. No, you know, there's not any argument about anything in the Bible that's as clear as that, is it? Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and to which you were also called in one body. There it is again. We're one in the Lord. And be thankful. Thanksgiving is another great, great need for Christianity. You know, Paul said in the last times men would be unholy, unthankful, lovers of pleasure. Boy, if we don't see that, I'll tell you what, people will go more out of their way to go to the ball game than they will to go to church. Now, I'm not talking about the heathens, I'm talking about Christians.
Yeah.
He has to be first, friends. He has to be first.
Yeah.
And this is what he says. This is the perfect bond. Is to love him, to love one another, and the peace of God ruling your heart. And then this is good. It feeds into this. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Instead of fussing and griping, why don't we just sing to one another? That's what it says. That's what it says. Sing me a song. Don't fuss about your neighbors. Don't fuss about your pastor. Sing me a song.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Somebody might, you know, call the nut wagon if you did this, but next time somebody starts to fuss at you, you know, about something and gripe and fuss about anything, just thought, I will sing a hallelujah to the Lord. They probably, well, say, she's really lost it. But that's not true. Hallelujah. She just found it.
Amen.
To obey the Bible, rejoice. Amen. Always. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God. When we say, I can't love them, and I don't have any problem with that. God's really helping me with that. Isn't that good? Is he helping you? You know, the kind of love that the Bible calls for is a decision that you make. And whatever you decide to do, you can do. Would you agree with that? It's a decision. If Jesus said, love your enemies, do you have any choice about it?
No.
Well, he did say it, didn't he? In the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies and pray for those that mistreat you. Can you imagine anything that crazy? But that's Bible. And I'm talking to you about the way to peace that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then Paul says it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Without righteousness, you're not going to have any peace. And without righteousness and peace, you're not going to have any joy. It's like a recipe. You've got to put all three of them together. And you've got to let them work in you. Don't let them just, you know, be something I read in the Bible. Let them work in your family. Let them work in your neighborhood. Let them work in your church. Let them work at your job. Everywhere you go, you see, we the people that we're with are to recognize that we are peacemakers, that we love the Lord, that we love one another. There's a lot in the Bible about our helping one another, too. Back in Leviticus, it says, you know, if your brother has need, then you just help him and don't charge him any interest. And then it says, fear the Lord. That's in Leviticus. If your brother has need, you do what he needs and don't charge him any interest. But you fear the Lord. And that fear of the Lord is a tremendous topic. That's what I'm going to be working on down in the Yucatan. That was my assignment. The sister told me. And nobody disobeys the sister. And the sister speaks, well, we usually say, yes, ma'am. I made the mistake of having Mary Elizabeth email and ask if she was expecting chicken salad, and she said yes. So I told her, well, I'd go find some chickens and kill them there. She said, don't kill any old hens. There's a wonderful sense of humor. With Paul, we can do all things. Now, I want to talk to you a minute. Seek. You remember when as a kid you used to go play hide and seek? You looked for that person that was hiding. You remember? Y'all don't remember that? You didn't just go, you know, just dance around. But if there was a place that he could hide, and that's what he wanted to do, you would seek. Remember? You would look everywhere for that person. And that word seek is a wise word here in the Bible. It means not casual, but it means to search intensely. Search intensely the kingdom of God. Seek. Search. Look. Be determined and don't be willing not to find it. Continuously searching and looking. You see, we need this. We need to be more serious about the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be more serious about being peacemakers. Amen? I'm not criticizing you. I'm just, you know, saying what we need to do. And I didn't say you. I said we. We want to be a shining light in our neighborhoods. We want to be a shining light in our communities. We want to be a shining light in our families, don't you? Well, then it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And righteousness is such a big topic. Look quickly at James chapter 3. I'm skipping some, but I'll pick them up later. But I did want you to see this in James after Hebrews. James chapter 3, verses 16 and 8 through 18. And then we'll have to leave. This is strong stuff. Envy, where envy and self-seeking and confusion and every evil thing are there, for where envy and self-seeking exist. If you've got envy and selfishness, self-seeking mean me, where they are, every evil thing is there. Confusion and every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? The fruit of righteousness is sown, that it is planted. It's given by those who make peace. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they, the peacemakers, shall be called the sons of God. How many of you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but do any of you just think right off hand of some situation that you need, that you could change that would make for peace? Let me share one more. Look at Philippians chapter 4 for just a quick minute. Ephesians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. verse 4. It's also good. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, I tell you, I have a problem with that. How many of you have anxiety? I think all of you do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, just don't be all upset about it. Just tell Him. Tell it to Jesus. And when you do this, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you something, beloved. If you got your heart and your mind guarded, you're in good condition. And it's all right here in this one little verse. Finally, whatsoever things are pure, and you know what great things they're said there. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good. Think on these things. Do what the Bible says. Paul had learned by experience. I'm going to quote this, and you needn't look because our time is out, I think. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, follow after peace. Pursue. Pursue gives me the idea of a dog chasing a rabbit. You city folks, you know what I'm talking about? Of something that is really going to catch up with something. Pursue. Don't quit. Look for it. Peace. Peace. With all people. Follow after peace. And then the last of that verse, holiness, sanctification in the New American Standard, I believe. Without which no one will see the Lord. If I put that now right down to where the goats can get the hay. Huh? What'd you say? Bring it on down there. What that is really saying, if we don't follow after peace and if we don't live a life of holiness, we can't go to heaven. Amen? Can we be challenged? Can we be changed? You're not offended. If you're offended, you have to blame it on Him. But it's really a wonderful encouragement, the kingdom of God. Right relationship with Him, right relationship with one another, peace that comes from these relationships, and joy that comes from the peace and righteousness. Amen? I'd like to ask you to pray for our trip that we're going on this coming Thursday.